Every Monday at 8:50, it's the Connecticut Business Blend with the Hartford Business Journal. Greg Bordonaro joining us here on Brian & Company. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. A bunch of stuff to talk about. You know, bioscience, I don't. You know, we've talked about a lot in these segments. It seems like there was a lot of optimism and some, you know, things weren't so great. I mean, is it like a boom-bust cycle? And if like, are we in a bust phase or what's going on?
Yeah, it's definitely, bioscience is definitely a boom-bust cycle. Right now, I'd say we're probably in more of a bit of a down phase right now, partly because venture funding has been slow over the last year or so after a wave of companies went public during 2021, 2020. So we kind of took a big step back and took a big picture look at where the bioscience industry is right now. You know, since 2001, employment is down 13.4%. There's about 25,477 employees in the bioscience industry right now. If you look a little bit closer, since 2017, employment's up 17%. But over a couple decades, it is down double digits. Now, we talked to a lot of bioscience executives and also boosters. One of the things they say now is that employment numbers alone aren't the best gauge of the industry's growth in Connecticut. Another key indicator is the number of establishments or businesses in Connecticut. And since 2002, we've doubled the number of bioscience establishments, you know, or businesses in the state from 817 to 1,744. And one of the things that people say now is that these bioscience companies need less staff than they did years ago because of advances in technology and other things. So, you know, employment is definitely down somewhat significantly, but the number of businesses, bioscience businesses in the state are up. The upside of having more establishments or businesses in the state, obviously, if one of them makes it and they come through with these breakthrough drugs, then you might see that boost in employment and a sudden burst in employment.
You know, I want to ask you about the Duracell move, because at first I'm like, oh, boy, another company relocating out of Connecticut to a, you know, more favorable tax state. But it sounded like Duracell was kind of mostly gone anyway.
Yeah, so Duracell used to have their corporate headquarters in Bethel, Connecticut. That moved in around 2016. In 2014, Duracell was acquired actually by Berkshire Hathaway. So it's currently owned by Berkshire Hathaway. They bought it from Procter Gamble. 2 years after that deal in 2016, Berkshire basically officially moved the headquarters to Chicago. Although, you know, Bethel was still sort of the unofficial headquarters, but Chicago is where their CEO sat. Since then, employment in Bethel has sort of slowly gone down. Right now, it's hard to estimate. They're not disclosing how many employees they have in Bethel, but it's probably around 100, give or take, plus or minus. So it's not a huge presence. But Bethel, until this move to Atlanta, basically, where Duracell announced last week that they're opening an R&D headquarters in Atlanta, the R&D headquarters was still in Bethel up until that announcement last week. So, you know, it is unfortunate that Connecticut is losing that R&D headquarters still. Some of those employees that are in Bethel will be able to work for the company remotely still. Others are going to be transferred to Atlanta. But, you know, a lot of the big pronouncements of company moves over the last few years have been more about access to top talent, research and development. If you remember, you know, GE, they were talking about moving to Boston for talent. Lego, which is moving its headquarters to Boston, they were talking about moving not because of taxes, but because of access to talent. So, you know, honestly, that's probably even a bigger concern, that people are moving outside of Connecticut because of access to talent and research and development.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, there have been companies that have been relocating to Connecticut for that same reason, too. So, you know, overall employment is up in the state, but, you know, something to keep an eye out for.
Well, what's the real estate? Duracell, do they own the property, and what happens to the property and so on?
Yeah, so Duracell owns it's about almost a $350,000 square foot, 350,000 square foot office building in Bethel. So that's a big building. So last year, actually last fall, they did put that building up for sale, which was probably an indicator that they were going to, you know, kind of permanently relocate out of Connecticut. That building is currently not on the market. Frankly, there's not going to be any demand, in my opinion, for a 350,000 square foot office park in Bethel, Connecticut. So, you know, that's probably a building that's destined for a wrecking ball at some point. So they're not going to get a huge, you know, a huge price for that particular building. Maybe it could be converted. I don't know. I don't know much about the building itself. But, you know, for the town of Bethel, that's a significant part of their tax base. So it's an issue for that town for sure.
Yeah, we're talking with Greg Bordenero from the Hartford Business Journal. This is the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday at 8:50 here on WTIC News Talk 1080. You know, I had a conversation with the governor about, you know, just state workers and getting back to work. I didn't know, maybe it was my ignorance, that this was collectively bargained in the last union deal, and that the governor tried to get more people to come back, and then they lost an arbitration. I mean, the fact that that has to be barred, and again, like, I'm not Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. I'm just like, I think people need to go back to work. It would help Hartford. It would, I think it's better for everybody. But now it sounds like you can't just snap your fingers and have it happen.
Yeah, and you know, State Representative Vincent Candelora, who's a Republican, had a bill last week in front of the Labor and Public Employees Committee, basically giving agencies the power to call workers back to the office. Now, that bill, if it does pass, which I frankly doubt it, that it does, if it did pass, it probably would face legal challenges given the collective bargaining agreement. But it was interesting. We wrote about it because there was over 500 state employees, basically, who submitted a testimony in opposition to the bill. So, you know, this work from home trend, I mean, it's an issue that, you know, private sector employers have been dealing with for quite some time now. Most private sector employers, however, have brought people back to the office. Probably, you know, the hybrid model seems to be the sweet spot, 3 or 4 days in the office, 1 or 2 days at home. But, you know, so the collective bargaining agreement with state employees, I believe, expires at the end of or sometime next year. So I think this remote work, you know, issue is going to be a top issue, I think, that the labor unions are going to be bargaining with. Obviously, you see an issue at the federal level with, you know, Elon Musk mandating that all federal employees come back to the office. So it is a it's a tricky area for both federal and state governments, which, you know, many of which are unionized.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, I just think it would. I mean, of course, the workers want to stay because it's easier. But I don't know. I tend to think it'd be better for everybody if people went back to the office or had options to have like swing days. You know, I think that would be fine too. Greg, thanks so much. We appreciate it as always.
All right. Thanks, Brian.